the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the clash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Brother Bergen. They used to say that I think Ira Sankey had a golden voice. I think Brother Bergen, God's given him a golden voice. Yeah. Amen. I appreciate him. And through the years, I'm really grateful that they'll be coming back here weekends to spend with us once they move up to Greenville. I'm trying, but we're sure gonna miss the Bergens when they make their move up to Greenville, Michigan. I appreciate all the fellowship that we've had together, and so take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of Matthew. You're in Psalms. We're gonna read the passage in Psalms, but I also want to read a passage in Matthew as well. So Psalm chapter 130, if you would. I'll read those verses again. And then I'm going to couple it with a passage in Matthew, and you'll wonder why, but you'll find out. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That is one of the most amazing, powerful, important verses in the Bible. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. I like that too, amen? Not just redemption, it's plenteous. More than needed. Plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament that God will yet choose Israel. Kind of set aside now, but God will yet choose them. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. But again, I want you to notice in verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, it's not that he overlooks them, but mark us and stain us in such a way that it's irreparable. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Look at me for a second, everybody. If God held everything against us, we couldn't do anything for him, could we? But the blood of Christ cleanses us. If we were marked permanently because of our sin, we could never do anything for him. Look at what it says here. But, verse number 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Paul said he kept his body in subjection, lest he, having preached to others, would be a castaway. But notice this. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Because God offers forgiveness, the sinfulest can still fear God and serve him. Because there's forgiveness with God. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Nobody. But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And then if you would, look over with me to Matthew chapter number 1, please. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz. I want you to memorize these verses, okay? And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. This morning, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. This morning I want to talk about unlikely characters, particularly unlikely characters for a Christmas program. Unlikely characters. Let's just pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your love and grace and mercy, for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, this time of year, we reflect even more fervently upon that love that drew salvation's plan and the grace that brought it down to man. And I pray this morning the Holy Spirit would fill me and use me and minister to our hearts to the end that you'd be glorified. Any unsaved that could be here this morning would be drawn to Christ, and every Christian would be strengthened and encouraged to serve you. Pray you'd bless our time now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. When I was in junior high, just a few years ago, our youth group put on a Christmas, our church youth group put on a Christmas play. My dad was a pastor there, and a fellow by the name of Russ Warner worked a full-time job at the school as a janitor and was also the youth pastor, youth director at the church. And in junior high, I think it was seventh grade, we put on a Christmas play. And like any youth group, we had quite a variety of personalities and abilities, right? You don't have a group of people, you have quite a broad range of talent. In that particular play, I don't even remember the name of it, but in that play, Gail Maxson and I played as twins. That would be Gail Whitman now. So we were twins in a junior high play in seventh grade. We still look the same age, I think. No? Don't go there? Okay. And so we played twins in that seventh grade play. We had someone in our play that had a really bad speech impediment, and they did part of the play. I can still remember the person's lines because I could hear them echo in my mind and how they said them. We had some kids that hardly came to church, and they were in the play. When I think about the different ones in the play and where they are now in life, I just wonder where they all could be. The one lady, girl that I mentioned that had the speech impediment, several years later we found out that she had disappeared. They never found her. And many people had believed that perhaps her brother, it was kind of a different situation, that may have murdered her and disposed of her in the woods there in New York, and they just never found her. At any rate, the play was made up of unlikely people for the parts. You'd had to know the kids in our youth group, me included. But the youth director used whom he had. We know about that, right, Brother Travis? None were skilled in the arts of drama. In fact, the youth director was not skilled or trained as a play director. But as I recall, and I can see it in my mind, as I recall, there was a full house in that church, New Berlin, New York, that night. I can still see someone's face right down there. The full house and the play was used of the Lord with unlikely characters in that play. Remember when I had the responsibility in Faustoria Baptist Church in Faustoria, Michigan, of putting on a Christmas play right after I'd gone there after my first pastorate. I went there for 2 years working with music and the youth and the college and career age class and so on. And we put on a Christmas play, and I used John R. Rice's simple Christmas play that tells this Christmas story. And I had a real live miniature burro that we used in the play. His name was Pancho, 33 inches tall. And Pancho came and lived with us for about a month at our place in Faustroy, not inside the house, but he came and lived outside, wanted to come in quite badly. And he was a funny character. And old Pancho, you got permission to use him, the live donkey, in the Christmas program. The church is probably maybe 50 feet longer than our auditorium here. And I remember practicing with him the first time. I would load up Pancho in the church van, took the church, the seats out, and Pancho would jump up in there, and I'd bring him over to the church. And I remember I was trying to get him to go across the back vestibule area. And that our church is really nice, but this church there was even just pristine, and everything was perfect, you know, and people liked it that way. And it was, everything was perfect. And I couldn't get Pancho to go across the back vestibule area, and he sat right down, and so I just kind of pulled him. Well, when I pulled him, he skidded with his, I want to say paws, but not his, but with his hooves, and burnt streaks in the carpet. The pastor was not very happy with me, I can tell you that. We had a meeting, but I got Pancho, finally got him to come down the aisle, and he you know, stage fright, he just wouldn't come. And pulled, finally got him down there. So I called the owner, and I said, how do you get Pancho to move? She says, it's simple. You just grab him right where the tail meets the rump and squeeze, and he'll move. And so when I led Mary down the aisle on Pancho, and I just kept my hand on his rump where the tail meets the rump there, and every time he'd try to balk, I'd squeeze, and he'd just go like that. Every time I'd squeeze and he'd move. It was kind of funny. But if you can't get some, don't try that at home. But Pancho was, he did a good job. But, you know, again, some unlikely characters for the Christmas program. The truth is, we often use unlikely people to put together certain things, and it works. In the Bible here, we have the story, the genealogy. Who wants to read the he begat who begets? In the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the royal ancestry here, we have several unlikely characters that we wouldn't choose to put in the Christmas program. Judas begat Phares of Zerah and Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, a Moabitess. And David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Unlikely characters for the Christmas program, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I want to look at these people real quick. The unlikely characters that God used in his Christmas program. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 3, Judas begat Phares of and Zerah of Tamar. Judas is listed. Phares is listed in the genealogy here for a reason. But let's just think about, maybe you know the story in Genesis chapter 38. You could read it. Please don't turn there and read it now. But in Genesis 38, you can read the story of Judas, one of the sons of Jacob, and how that he had acted dishonorably, to say the least, and deceptively, resulting in the conception of twins, Phares and Zerah, of his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Tamar's husband had died, and she was waiting for the younger son to be mature enough to marry, and Judah was to give the younger son to Tamar to marry, to raise up seed to her husband, husband's name that had passed away. But Judah didn't do that. When his son reached the age, he didn't give that son to Tamar. Judah's wife had died, and he went into the country there and saw a woman who was dressed as a harlot. He didn't know it was his daughter-in-law. She wanted to talk to him about her not receiving the younger son. Judah went under her, thinking her to be a harlot. You know, God doesn't shroud things in the Bible. He went unto her thinking she was a harlot, but she had disguised herself, and he never knew it was her. The behavior was unrighteous, to say the least. And of course, later on, you know the story, perhaps, that she had kept his ring. And then later on, when it was found that she was with child, he would have had her dealt with severely, stoned or whatever, because she had played the harlot. And said, who is the father? The one who owns this ring. It was Judah. It was Judah. And so she had two sons, twins, Perez and Tamar. Now we would look at this and say, they can't be a part of my program. But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And God in mercy and God in grace used Judah, and even in spite of his sin, because there's forgiveness with God, God then uses Perez, born of Tamar, from Judah, to become part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? Why, you wouldn't pick this for your Christmas program. I remember years ago, and I've shared it, there was a lady in the first church that I pastored, 76 years of age, that when I called on her, after I'd become the pastor there, a small church, I think there were maybe 20 people there when we went there at first. And I went and called on her, and when I called on her, I said to her, called her by name and said, tell me about when you got saved. 76 years of age, and I figured, you know, I was waiting to hear this testimony. I was 26 years old. And all of a sudden, she teared up, started crying. She said, I've never told anybody this. And she was crying. She said, I don't think I can be saved. I was born out of wedlock. I was an illegitimate child, and I don't think I can be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. She thought she was unlikely, an unlikely candidate to be saved because of being born out of wedlock. You know what? There's forgiveness with God. Amen. Besides that, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't Perez's fault. God used Perez, born of Tamar, to Judah as part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Then there was Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. Would you look there? And Salmon begat Boaz of the Greek would say Rahab, but it's Rahab is who the person is. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now we have another person. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Would you fill in the blank for me? Rahab the... That's what the Bible described her as. Rahab was known, had been known as a harlot in Jericho before the children of Israel entered there. She'd been a person of ill repute, but when presented face to face with the true God, with his power being made known and his righteousness, she believed on him. And then she hid and protected his people, the Jewish men sent to spy out the city of Jericho, while Joshua and the others waited to advance and enter the city of Jericho. Rahab the harlot. When Joshua and the Israelites conquered Jericho because she had hid the spies, reporting that she believed God was with them. I mean, she had heard of the true God and had turned in her mind toward Him. When Joshua and the Israelites conquered Jericho, Rahab hung a scarlet rope from her house, and she and her family were spared. Then we see her listed here as part of the royal lineage of Jesus Christ. Rahab, the harlot. But there's forgiveness with God that He may be feared. I wouldn't have chosen her as part of the lineage. She'd been a person of ill repute. Her past, however, was not the determining factor of her future. Her faith was. Repentance of sin and faith in God changed the course of her life and locked her into God's Christmas program. Amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul said. An unlikely woman became part of the registered ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlikely characters in the Christmas program. And then in that same verse, in verse number 5, if you'd notice, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of whom? Of Ruth. Ruth? Yes. The Bible says here, Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Boaz was a Jewish man, a wealthy Jewish man. Ruth was a Moabitess from Moab, godless place, godless people, idolatrous practice, people that had been part way back before that caused great temptation to the Israelites. There had been a time of drought in Israel. And Elimelech and Naomi traveled, don't say that fast, but Elimelech and Naomi traveled down into the land of Moab to find relief and seek provision. In a godless land, Moab, their sons married godless women. You know, young people have to be warned to watch who you date, because who you date may be your future mate, amen? My dad said, take a good look and know the person's mother before you date a person. I love my mother-in-law. I do. Oh, she doesn't have internet, so she's not going to listen to this. But here they were. They married. And by the way, let me just interject this, that, listen, God's people should not date godless people, because you get attached emotionally and you're going down the trail. You know, saved people should date saved people. Amen. And that should be encouraged. There'd been a time of drought. They went down there in the godless land. Their sons married these godless women, and then the men died. Elimelech and the two sons died. And Naomi decided, I'm going back to Israel. Going back to the land of Judah. By the way, when we're out of the will of God, it's always a good time to say, you know what, I'm going home. She decided to go back to Israel. Well, the two daughters-in-law said, we want to go with you. Naomi pressed upon them, no, stay with your people. I don't want to take you back to my land. You stay here And you know what, just love your people and return to your ways and so on. But Ruth wouldn't have it. In fact, The classic and powerful statement that Ruth gives is in Ruth 1:6, and it says this, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." The Moabitess said, "I will leave my gods, my people, and go to your people, and your God will be my God." Amen? By the way, who said there wasn't individual choice even in the Old Testament? There certainly was. So Ruth goes back with Naomi, and lo and behold, gleans fruit from Boaz's fields. And Boaz redeems all that belonged under her husband and gets Ruth with the package. Amen. And Ruth, the Moabitess, who turned to God, the true God, became part of the royal lineage of Jesus Christ. Would you go to Moab to find someone for God's program? Probably not. But there she was. Amen? Songwriter said, "Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace." And then notice verse number 6. "And Jesse begat David, the king." Notice in verse 1, it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. That's important. The promised Messiah would be of the loins of David and, of course, of Abraham. So here's David. "Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." From here on we have the royal lineage of Jesus Christ. "And Jesse begat David the king, and David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." The story of Uriah and David is a well-known story to any Bible student. You all know the story, right? Raise your hand if you know the story. Okay, sure you do. David stayed home from the battle and saw what he should not have seen, lusted for what he should not have had, committed a sin he should not have committed, and tried to cover his sin, and committed greater sin in trying to cover the other sin, having Bathsheba's husband killed in battle. But there's forgiveness with God that he mayest be feared. The story of David and Bathsheba was a tragedy in so many ways. The character of David, a tremendous man of God, was tarnished by compounded sin. The moral fidelity of a young wife was compromised by the power of a king. A marriage was crumbled by the carelessness of sin. A war hero, Uriah, was a war hero. A war hero was purposely killed in action in an attempt of David to cover his sin. He had him sent with a note back to the front lines. And when he's in the heat of battle, have everybody else pull away from him so that he dies. That was David's plan that Joab implemented. And Uriah died. A baby's life was taken by the chastising hand of God. Tragedy. A mother's heart was broken in the loss of a son. A family became tarnished by scandal, corruption, and violence. Yet, David and Bathsheba become an important part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Why? There's forgiveness with him that he may be feared. God took David, and David repented of his sin, and he and Bathsheba got right with God, and you know, I'm not going to be hard on her. He was the king. There was a lot of power behind any command a king would have made, but they got right with God, and David confessed his sin. Psalm 51, the great penitent psalm, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. And David got right with God, and Bathsheba got right with God, and the baby died. And then God blessed them when they got right with God. God blessed them. Did you hear me? When you get right with God, God can bless you again. God doesn't bless us in our sin, but when we turn from sin and get right, God can bless us again. And God gave them Solomon. And later on, when one of David's other sons wanted to become the king and was promoted to be the king, Bathsheba comes to David and said, remember, my son was promised that throne. And here they are, tainted by sin, forgiven by God, and registered in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see, there's unlikely people in God's Christmas program. God used imperfect people to bring about his perfect plan. And God uses imperfect people today to bring about his perfect plan as well. You might be sitting here saying, you know what, I'm just not good enough. I've got things in the past I'm forgiven, but there's just things about me that I'm just not good enough. God uses imperfect people to fulfill his plan when imperfect people come to God for grace and mercy. The past failures did not determine their future use. Aren't you glad? Huh? If you should mark iniquity, Lord, who could stand? Nobody. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Yes, and let me illustrate that in my unlikely characters in the Christmas program. God would say. Past failures did not determine their future use. Judah committed terrible sin, and it was just unrighteous what he did, and ungodly and inexcusable. But God used Perez. David and Bathsheba, their sin was inexcusable. That Ruth had been an ungodly religion before, but she came to know the Lord. The failures of yesterday can be stepping stones to victories today. Amen. How many of you have read Psalm 51 before when you've failed the Lord in some way and you drew comfort from reading Psalm 51? If David could get right with God, I can get right with God. Did you raise your hand? Raise them up good and high, you bunch of sinners. No, not really. Raise your hand up good and high again, would you please? Yeah, I've read Psalm 51 before, feeling downcast because of my shortcomings as a Christian. The failures of yesterday can be stepping stones to victory. Think of that wonderful psalm and how much victory it's brought in people's lives because somebody did wrong and got right with God. I've often said this, it's not that we have done wrong that makes the difference. Everyone has. It's what we do when that happens that makes the difference. God can use us in our weaknesses to reveal his mighty power in spite of our weaknesses to reveal his mighty power. Boy, had David been under me and I was God, I think I'd have said, sorry, David, you've blown it. Amen? But there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Our failures may negatively impact our lives today, yet God can still use us to accomplish his will tomorrow when we get right with God. Think of John Mark. Paul said, don't bring him, Barnabas. He's not profitable. He quit on us. And later, he says, bring John Mark because he's profitable to you. John Mark changed. And God's usage of him was renewed. Because of God's forgiveness, we're not bound to spiritual failure by past sins. Let me say, understand, when Christians sin, there's always repercussions. I'll bet Judah never heard the end of that. There's people that goaded David, I'm sure. Perhaps some people grumbled about a Moabitess here. There's always repercussions, but with God, there's forgiveness that he may be feared, and God can use people who have come short when they get right. My message is not to encourage wrong behavior or excuse wrong behavior. My message is to encourage people who have come short to realize God wants to use you in his Christmas program. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who, O Lord, shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. God can and will still use each of us today as we yield to him from where we are. Where we have been is not as important as the direction that we're heading today. You say, well, that's Rahab the harlot. Yeah, she was. But like the woman taken in adultery, Jesus said to her, go and what? Sin no more. He didn't say, I'll support you in your sinful behavior, provide anything you need. He said, go and sin no more. Christian, it's time that God's people say, you know what? I know I've come short and I've gotten it right with you, Lord. I've confessed it to you. I've turned from it. I want to do the right thing. And then take the next step and don't let the devil hold you down from serving the Lord. Because the devil wants to hold you down and say, wait a minute, you've come short in some way. You can't be used. Oh, yes, you can. I got a Christmas program to prove it. Could you imagine the guilt that Peter experienced after he denied that he knew Jesus Christ three times vociferously, cursing and swearing that he didn't know Jesus? And as Jesus looked upon him, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. Peter said he wouldn't, but he did. Yet the Lord had said to him, "When I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." God saw a future beyond the failure of the present. When thou art converted. Peter had to go through a change, didn't he? Get away from the pride of, I won't ever deny you. Lord, I would never do that. Why, I would never. Oh, no, I could never do that. He did. So when you're changed to a spirit of humility where you believe what I say and you watch and pray so you don't enter temptation, then I'm going to use you. And when you read what God used Peter to write, I can hear this conversation in it sometimes. The Lord had said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We're not held by the past failures. By God's grace, we're given a future. Amen? I don't care where you've been. God can use you today because of his grace, because of his forgiveness, because of the precious blood that was shed for you. The Lord had plans to use Peter after his failure, demonstrating his grace and forgiveness and his power in using those who had been weak. You know, we preach, you know, be strong, stand for the Lord, don't give in. But we do at times, don't we? We give in to disappointments. We give in to doubts. We give in to discouragements. We give in to things, and then all of a sudden, we are whipped up one side and down the other, saying, I can't do anything for the Lord now. Oh, yes, you can. Rahab did. Oh, yes, you can. David did. Oh, yes, you can. Judas did. Not in their sin, but because there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The Lord taught Paul a lesson. The Lord taught Paul that his strength, God's strength, was made perfect in Paul's weakness. Boy, I just don't feel like I can serve you adequately, Lord. I've got this problem with my eyes, and I just don't feel effective. And it's a thorn in my flesh, and I'm just not what I could be because I physically have a problem. God says, okay, you keep that problem because you realize you're weak, and so my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So you're looking at me this morning, and you don't think you're a likely candidate to be used of the Lord. Yes, you are. I believe you come short, as I do. But God uses the weak things to confound the wise. Maybe you're struggling spiritually here this morning. Don't despair. God's going to use you. You're going to get through that. Whatever you're struggling with, you're going to get through that. And God's going to use that experience for His glory. He wants you in the program. Don't despair. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look in the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Confess sin as you need to, where you've sinned, and go forward in righteousness. God will not set you aside as unusable if you'll turn to Him and claim His cleansing and forgiveness. Look to Him, lean on Him, live for Him, and watch what He does in spite of where you've been. Admit your weakness or your missteps. Accept His forgiveness. And go on in faith. You won't be registered in the genealogy of Christ. But you'll be registered in the list of people that have done exploits for God. Admit your weakness. Understand God will use you how He feels best in His program. Even though you're not a likely candidate. And you're not. And I'm not. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? We were all unlikely candidates for heaven. We couldn't have gone there. But because of God's forgiveness in the person of Christ, we've been made worthy by faith in Him. God in His mercy and through His grace has provided the way to heaven through Jesus Christ for unlikely people. He used unlikely people in that program as He was bringing a perfect Savior, a perfect sinless Savior into the world. He used unlikely people. Amen? Sometimes people get the idea that Bible characters were perfect people. You better read the Bible. God didn't shroud their sin. He exposed it so that we could learn from it. He used unlikely people in his program, bringing a perfect Savior into the world. And listen to me individually, hear me. He can and will use you. Come to him in your weakness. Admit to him your shortcomings. Fall upon him in his grace. And see what God can do with you. Where he wants to, how he wants to. Might be Poncho in a program. That God has to squeeze you a little bit to get you moving. But he can and will use you. If you'll accept what he's done for you in and through Christ, you can experience his forgiveness and have your spot in heaven if you're not saved. Unlikely. On your own, of course. But saved by his grace. In Revelation it says, from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us. Washed us. So, I close with a question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? God uses unlikely people and wants to use you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. And Lord, all of us in the same boat have sinned and come short of your glory. And wouldn't deserve heaven, don't deserve heaven, but you've provided a way because there's forgiveness with you. What you've done in and through Jesus Christ opens the door to heaven for those who'd receive him as their Savior. But beyond that, once saved, Lord, your forgiveness opens the door for us for future service when we've come short. Thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would encourage each person to understand that you still want to use them. You still want to bless them. You still want to guide them and help them. If there's some area in their life they need to turn from that they know is sin, that you offer forgiveness through the blood of Christ and strength to live righteously. But I pray that we'd see ourselves as people that can be used of you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I wonder if there's anyone who'd say, preacher, I realize I could do nothing to earn heaven, but I believe Jesus provided the way when he lived for me, died for me, and rose for me. I believe he provided a way, but I haven't accepted him as my Savior. I want to do that today. Is there anyone who'd by an uplifted hand and say, preacher, today, I need to receive Christ as my Savior and be saved. Who'd slip up their hand? Listen, don't wait. If you know it's you, don't wait. Today's the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Is there anyone say, preacher, I've never personally invited Jesus Christ into my heart to save me once and for all forever, believing he died and rose for me. I need him today. Is there anyone today like that? Slip up your hand, please. No one will come to you. How many would say, preacher, I've let the devil or my own mind make myself think that I'm not very usable, but I believe there's forgiveness with God and he can use me based on what we see in the scripture today. By the grace of God and faith, I'm going to look to him to help me from where I am so that he can use me for his honor and glory. Would you slip up your hand today? Amen, amen, amen. Say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. Well, there's going to come a time when you come short. And you remember, God will use an unlikely person to do his will. In just a minute, we're going to stand together and pray. Maybe you know someone that's drifted from the Lord. And you ought to come and pray for them. Maybe in your own life, you ought to come and say, Lord, I know I've come short in many ways, but I sure want to be used of you. Forgive me where I failed thee. Help me to live for you righteously. And God, use me for your glory, I pray. He will. He wants you in his program. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly